We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hour number 3, Dale and Keith. Sports Radio WEEI. I've been a little concerned about little Richie Keith.
Thanks, Dale. Thanks for looking out for me.
I
got to
be honest with you. There are times when he runs a little hot, as we learned earlier on in the program.
I've cooled off.
So evidently, during the All-Star weekend, Rachel Nichols had an opportunity to do a one-on-one sit-down interview with Kyrie Irving. Now, Kyrie was making a fair amount of news over the All-Star weekend.
Oh, Kyrie was a busy guy during All-Star break.
Like supposedly, the conversation he had down in the hallway with Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I don't know if all that's...
Two maximum slots, right?
I don't know if that's right, though.
I don't know.
But yeah, he was very, very buddy-buddy with Kevin Durant.
Get a room, for God's sake.
You know what's kind of funny is I think that LeBron James actually could have screwed himself. You want to hear my Keefspiracy on what happened this All-Star weekend? So LeBron James obviously is the captain of one of the teams, and so they get to draft players. And so he drafts Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Anthony Davis, Klay Thompson, all these guys that have been linked to LeBron James, but it might backfire on him because Kyrie and Durant spend so much time together.
To be getting very chummy.
They play together, and then LeBron doesn't get either one of those guys, so he may
have
screwed himself.
They both end up in New York with the Knicks.
Yes,
and
I think it's very likely at this point. So LeBron screwed up again. That's really the end result there.
So here's the deal. On The Jump today on ESPN, at the risk of promoting The Jump.
The Jump.
There's going to be a larger sit-down interview between Rachel Nichols and Kyrie Irving. But in an effort to promote that earlier today, they gave us some little tidbits. Now, you got to do the dramatic music behind the answer
that
ESPN likes to do so much. So let's run through some of this and give you a chance to hear it and respond to it. The first thing, and he's kind of hinted at this in the past, his teammates have hinted at this year, that as Rachel told him, it's turned out to be a bit of a challenge this year for the Celtics, and she wanted to know what's it been like.
You know, you obviously have expectations to live up to individually, but as a team, you know, it's a lot to figure out all in one year, bringing a lot more talent. You know, we didn't fill in just pieces here and there. We filled in pieces with great players. A lot has changed since the beginning of the season, but overall, I just want to win, and I'm going to dedicate myself every single day. And if I got to bring everybody else up with me, then that's just what I have to do.
Well, what's taking you so long?
How about the whole, if I've got to bring everybody else up with me?
That's a LeBron thing to say.
I wonder if Gordon Hayward or...
Right.
Jason Tatum are going, really?
Yeah, it's the same stuff. It's the same. Nothing has changed with Kyrie. It's just like him playing in the All-Star game. Just the message that sends. Couldn't play with you guys earlier in the week, but now I'm going to go play 25 minutes with all my best friends, all my other superstar players, guys who are on my level. None of you guys are on my level. So now I'll do my best
to bring you up to where I am.
But it's one of those things where, sometimes there's truth to it. Like LeBron James, we could probably find it. He's probably said the exact same thing. That's probably a LeBron James quote. Kyrie probably heard that when he was in Cleveland, and he's trying to do things differently than LeBron, but he's following in his footsteps every step of the way. It's like, I can bring up my teammates. LeBron would say that after playoff games. LeBron would say that all the time about how he doesn't have any help around him. It's a very similar kind of line there from Kyrie.
So Rachel Nichols pointed out that Marcus Morris had said a couple of weeks ago that it has not been fun here for the Celtics, even when the Celtics were winning.
It's been a trying year for us, because we basically have a bunch of young men in our locker room that feel like they're capable of doing a lot more than what they're doing, and that's okay. But there's a maturity that you have to have. There's a professionalism that you have to really showcase every single day, and that's what the great ones do. I initially didn't play the minutes I wanted to play. I'm 26 years old, heading into my prime. Like, why do I have to wait for anybody? Terry Rozier he played in the playoffs. He did extremely well. Coming back, that's a natural competition that me and him have. Like, it is what it is. Like, no one wants to say it, but I will. It's part of their growth. When you have winning in mind, then, you got to understand that. You got to do what it takes, but you got to understand your teammates.
There's a lot to unpack there.
See, now, I actually agree with him in this respect.
Okay.
The part about if you want to play for a franchise that wins,
yeah,
you're probably going to have to subjugate something. You know, and you look at the Patriots and the Super Bowl championship.
Yeah,
you know,
where
you know, maybe Gronk doesn't get all the catches that he'd like to get.
Yeah.
But if the team's going to win a title at the end of the year, I'm willing to sacrifice that. You know, I think there's something to that part.
There's something in there, but the way he's doing it is like he hasn't learned anything from the first part of the season and how trying it's been. Ross, you're at the very beginning of that same cut again where look where he says, so Rachel Nichols is talking about, you know, well, this year, you know, you're reacclimating, you know, you and Hayward, and like, you know, things are a little bit different and it's been kind of a trying season. And what's the first thing he says as to why it's been a trying season?
You know, you obviously have expectations to live up to individually, but as a team, you know, it's a lot to figure out all in one year, you know, bringing a lot more talent. You know, we didn't fill in just pieces here and there. We filled in pieces with great players.
No.
A lot has changed.
No, the last cut that you just played. Not that one. I mean, that's talking about similar with chemistry, but the so
it's been
this
a trying
cut.
Year for yeah. us, you know, because we basically have a bunch of young men in our
Stop.
Locker room.
It's been a trying year because we have a bunch of young guys in our locker room. That's what he's saying. It's the same stuff.
Well,
he hasn't learned anything.
I'm gonna say that this one I'm gonna give him a bit of a pass on. I think he got a little clumsy here. I think what he's saying is you got a bunch of young players who are all saying, "Hey, I want my minutes. I want my shots."
So it's got nothing to do with him. It's got nothing to do with Hayward. No, but that's my point. Is he's saying it's got nothing to do with Morris, nothing to do with Horford, nothing to do with. He's saying we have a bunch of young guys who wanna you know play more or whatever. So. Again, he's putting it all on them. Even if there's some truth to that Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier, Tatum, those are the only young guys that we're really talking about, right? We're not talking about Semi Ojeleye.
I feel like they're capable of doing a lot more than what they're doing.
Yeah. Okay, so right there, that's what he's going with. So he's going, it's been a trying season because we have young guys who are expecting a little bit more. No, it's got nothing to do with me. It's got nothing to do with. And then he goes on later on. You don't have to play it. But later on, he's saying, I wanted to play more minutes. What?
Well,
he's coming off of an injury.
No, well, he's talking about back when he was a younger guy.
I thought he was talking about this year.
No, he was talking about.
No, I don't think so.
No. I think he's talking about when he was with Cleveland and he doesn't want to be waiting around.
I disagree. Actually, Rossi, play this whole cut again if you could. Play that whole cut again because at the end, he's talking about how he's 26 and in his prime. So I think he's talking about this year.
It's been a trying year for us, you know, because we basically have a bunch of young men in our locker room that feel like they're capable of doing a lot more than what they're doing. You know, he played in the playoffs. He did extremely well. Coming back, that's a natural competition that me and him have. Like, it's just, it is what it is. Like, no one wants to say it, but I will.
Oh, yeah.
It's part of their growth. When you have winning in mind, then, you know, you got to understand that. You got to do what it takes, but you got to understand your teammates.
Oh, I thought he said, maybe we missed it. I thought he said in there that I'm 26 and he doesn't have enough minutes. And I think he's like, I'm in my prime. I think what he also meant is, you know, he's in a contract year. But I think max money is there for him no matter what. He's already established himself on that level. But he also drops that. I know you're a big fan of nobody else will say it, but
yeah,
I
hate that.
He just dropped one of those in there.
Minutes I wanted to play. I'm 26 years old, heading into my prime. Like,
yeah, so right there. So he is talking about this year. He said he and Rozier have this rivalry, but it's a natural rivalry.
So let's go to cut number three, and Rachel asked him about what he's learned so far this season about being a leader.
That you don't have to try to be a leader. That you don't have to, like,
did you think that
about,
at the start?
Yeah, because, you know, you naturally propel yourself to this position. You naturally start listening to outside advice. Like, hey, you know, how did you deal with this? How did you deal with that? And at the end of the day, you know, I've always had the tools. Now it's just about going out there and just doing it, improving it, and just being myself. That's the best version of me.
He's a five-tool leader, this guy. He's had all the tools all along, Dale. I'm just glad he's finally put them to good use. He waited till about, you know, 58 games
in
the regular season.
You don't have to try to be a leader. It just happens.
It's just natural. Dale, I mean, I have that,
it's
too.
It's here. You know, I can't even keep it under a bushel basket.
you can't hide the leadership.
Leadership just oozes out of me.
I didn't hate. That's the one answer out of all of it that I didn't hate was the very beginning. Like, what have you learned about being a leader? It's like, well, don't just try to be. Because I think there is truth to that. Like, that's why I made fun of, a couple of years ago, Dustin Pedroia. Like, when you have to tell everybody that I am the leader, look at me, nobody else is out here. You're like, ugh, really? Like, you got to do it that way? I think guys just kind of know who the leader is of these teams. And Kyrie, for better or worse, is what we're finding out, is the leader. And I'm not sure he's really figured it out because it seems like it's been a lot of the same stuff. It's kind of burying the younger guys, and they still got their work cut out for him.
All right, let's take you now to the moment when Kyrie Irving lost little Richie Key forever.
What do you mean? That was 6 weeks ago.
I don't know. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Moment.
Okay.
Because as Rachel Nichols said, a lot of guys wouldn't have made the phone call to LeBron or have shared that they did it. But he did. Too. And the question is, why did he?
Well, I think that, you know, it takes a very, very strong individual to, you know, replay a lot of the experiences that you've had. You know, a lot of anger that you had built up, you know, that where you didn't address the situation and you allowed it to fester, and then it was just combustion. Like, it was just, it came out and it just, you know, and then you realize, like, hey, man, I didn't have to deal with that the same way I dealt with that. You know, I didn't have to go about it that same way. Now, mind you, I have no regrets in terms of any decision that I made, you know, going about my individual journey and what I want and foresee for my career. And yeah, apologizing, that was a step for me just to move forward in my life.
He's the big man. He is the big man. He did the right thing there by doing that. And this,
see, I don't even mind that he did.
Ugh.
What I mind is him telling us that he did.
That's, I mean, I think they're both bad, but you're right. Why tell everybody? Why put it out there?
Because you don't have to shatter little Richie Keefe's dreams.
Because that's why Rich Paul swoops in and starts making all these rumors up and starts all of a sudden, it's because you gave into that by opening this door back up into this relationship that you have with LeBron. But doesn't this further prove, because I heard some people that are still Team Kyrie, which, get out of there while you still can, but the people who were Team Kyrie were saying that, no, he called LeBron and he was saying that he was trying to learn more from him because he doesn't want to be like LeBron. And that's wrong. He wants to be exactly like LeBron. And by doing that again, he's ripping himself. He's saying, oh, I could have done things differently, like young Kyrie. Which, once again, is pointing the finger at Rozier, Brown, and Tatum. It's the same thing over and over again with this guy. He's putting the blame on these guys because he thinks they think they're better than they really are.
All right, let's give you the last one here. Rachel Nichols.
If you can stomach it.
Well, this one might be the one that actually makes your head explode.
All right.
Rachel points out that the last time Kyrie tried to win a title, he didn't have all the talk to distract him.
Mm.
And she wants to know what it's like having everyone talk about you.
Oh, boy.
Well, the talk's going to stop. I mean, the talk's followed the great players in the league, and I'm appreciative and grateful to be one of those great players in our league now. You know, I've worked my way to get here, you know, and honestly, all that goes with the free agent talk is really a distraction, you know, and a lot of people don't realize on the outside that, you know, a lot of things that are said get into the locker rooms. Yeah. Like, a lot of things that are put in headlines, get into locker rooms. Like, media has broken up locker rooms. Like, it's been done before. Like, where you say something and it's misinterpreted, and instead of addressing it with the person or individual, like human interaction, you read it on your phone. Like, you read it on a text. Somebody says that, hey, did you see what this person said about you and it's your teammate? And you're like, wait, I didn't hear that. And then you hold back, you don't say anything to them, and then throughout the season, it ends up coming out again, and it's just like, man, that's not the way life is supposed to go. You know, it's a unique position, but I'm appreciative that I can have this understanding now. So, man, it's fun, but at the same time, goodness, it's energy taxing.
So you've heard it here first,
Dale. Energy taxing. Yeah, I'm going to write that
down. Energy, hashtag energy taxing. You've heard it here first. If the Celtics don't win the Eastern Conference this year, blame the media. That's what he's saying. Blame the media. So, reasons why the Celtics...
Yeah, you've broken up a few locker rooms in your
day. I have. Oh, I sure have. When I'm writing those headlines, they get right in there. They break these guys up. Obviously, they're very close to begin with, if that can happen. So, the reason why they're not in first or second place in the conference right now is, would you say the number one reason is young guys, then the number two reason is media? Got it. Are there any other reasons in there? No, just the young guys and media. Not him. Got nothing to do with him. Nothing to do with
leadership. Check.
Leadership's fine. Leadership's been great. What are you talking about?
I can't even keep it under wraps.
He's a great leader. This guy is one of the best. So they got problems. And I know some people could say they're 37-21. They're only a game out of third place. They won, 12 of 15 going into the All-Star break. You look at those things, say, well, that's pretty good. But the reality is they have so much talent. Like, they do. And so even though they're not really getting along, they're still going to win games based on how good the talent is. But then you see them blow leads to the Lakers, blow leads to the Clippers, play down to some of the competition, have these highs and lows where you get like a really big win one night, and then you lose to a bad team the next. They still have issues. And I don't think this group, or the chemistry, no way has it been solved, especially after this last weekend.
So these are the parts that ESPN teased earlier today.
Oh, so there's more.
So as they said at the time, you could hear the entire Kyrie Irving one-on-one interview on The Jump today. I wonder what they saved.
You don't have to try to be a leader. You don't have to, like,
did you think that at the start?
Yeah.
My guess would be you have to ask him something about what's he doing next year, or why would you tell season ticket holders you're going to be back, and then you tell people that you're going to find out July 1st.
On a text, somebody says that, hey, did you see what this person said about you and it's your teammate? And you're like...
Because wouldn't you say something like, obviously he doesn't have to tell them right now, but or like, do you know where you're going to be next year? Like, I bet he doesn't. Or I bet he has some ideas, but I bet he's still kind of weighing his options a little bit. And that is a departure from what we were talking about 5 months ago. We're like, great, he's going to be back. He's gonna, like, who else is going to be here? But at least you know Kyrie's going to be here. Now, is it 50-50?
Remember the Kyrie Love Fest in the aftermath of that season ticket appearance back in September?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was right there.
I
loving
mean,
him.
Not just you. Everybody. Oh, my God, he wants to stay.
What
he
was
loves
not to
us.
Love?
He loves us as much as we love him.
Yes.
I mean, you could have elected him mayor of the city.
Yeah, I would have voted for him.
And now I get the sense that at least a part of Celtics Nation,
yes,
part that you seem to lead,
yes, come with me,
is off the Kyrie bandwagon.
Completely off. But the reality is, I'm not saying get rid of him because I know how good of a player he is. It's just frustrating. Like, that's what happens with a lot of these superstars. Like, even Anthony Davis, the way that he has handled himself over the last couple of weeks seems like an absolute joke, but he's such a good player that you'd be crazy to not want him on your team. But the Kyrie stuff, I mean, this is far from over. I mean, when you look at what he's saying, he hasn't changed his tune at all. You know, blaming the young guys, now blaming the media. Like, that's a new one, I guess.
Hey, you've broken a few locker rooms in your day.
No, I know I have. That was a big problem.
You've screwed things up for a lot of teams.
So be careful, headline writers. You don't want to screw this team up any worse than they already are.
617-779-7937. That's the teaser for you. That's just the parts that ESPN has released so far with the eerie music in the background.
I don't know why you need that.
Really?
A little distracting.
We can't just
my
listen.
Small brain.
We just can't listen to Kyrie talk. Yeah. Now we have to have the...
Just pieces here and there. We filled in pieces with great players. A lot has changed since the beginning of the season.
We have to have the Stranger Things music playing in the background of that whole thing.
I really don't need it, but hey.
617-779-7937. We'll let you respond to Kyrie's comments in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEE.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Check the time as it's...
We have noon 30.
Noon 30.
It's noon 30.
It's going to be the Wild West at noon 30. Dale's already warmed up to noon 30.
No, I have.
You just said noon 30.
That's what you called it.
Noon 30 with Dale and Keith.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Let's just bring back one tiny snippet of Kyrie here. Because this is the part that might be, if you consider any of this damning, and maybe you don't.
All of it.
One of our Twitter followers said, but the problem is the young guys. Brown and Rozier haven't accepted their roles. Kyrie is not the problem on this team. He's the best player, and what he's saying, and Morris too. Tatum had that dunk on Simmons, and the bench went nuts. Everybody except Jaylen Brown, he sat there.
I think Jaylen Brown still supports Tatum. But anyway, regardless, I'm not saying those guys. So as a leader is the best thing to do. If Jaylen Brown is the problem on the team, is it the best thing to do is to constantly rip the young guys in the media? Like, he's the one who said the media can rip apart a locker room, and yet he's the one that's always talking to the media and talking trash about the young guys. That doesn't make any sense.
So let's give you just a little portion of it, and then we'll get right back to the calls.
It's been a trying year for us, you know, because we basically have a bunch of young men in our locker room that feel like they're capable of doing a lot more than what they're doing. And that's okay. But there's a maturity that you have to have. There's a professionalism that you have to really showcase every single day. And that's what the great ones do. You know, I initially didn't play the minutes I wanted to play. I'm 26 years old, heading into my prime. Like, why do I have to wait for anybody? You know?
I mean, when he's saying I initially didn't play the minutes that I wanted to play, he's not talking about this year.
Yes, he is. He says I'm 26. He's 26 this year.
Minutes has not been a problem for him this year.
Apparently that's another problem for him. He's saying initially he didn't play the minutes. Well, listen, Kyrie, you never play every game all season. You always break down. You couldn't finish last season because you were hurt. You missed the playoffs. What do you want, Brad to play 40 minutes a night? He's complaining about his minutes? How insane and out of left field is that?
I interpreted that he's talking about his past.
Did he say 26? Play the cut again. Play the last part of the cut again. Maybe I'm wrong, but...
Because he's saying, you know,
that you have to really showcase every single day, and that's what the great ones do. You know, I initially didn't play the minutes I wanted to play. I'm 26 years old, heading into my prime. Like,
so in other words, he's saying, I initially didn't play the minutes I wanted to play, but now he's 26, he's heading into his prime, he's getting more minutes. I think he's basically saying to Terry Rozier, you got to wait.
Wait, he didn't play the amount of minutes he wanted to early in his career? Was he nuts?
He's insanely wrong. I'm only going with what he's saying.
So his rookie year, and again, he was coming off an injury because he played like 9 games at Duke. He's always hurt. He played 30 minutes his rookie year. Then he played just under 35, just over 35, and over 36. What is he talking about? He's not making any sense with that. He's upset about the minutes now? I don't care what year he's talking about. He's wrong about it. Man, he drives you nuts, doesn't he? How does he not? Who's listening to everything that he says? Like, yes. I guess maybe the texter who's blaming the young guys, and that's fine. I'm not saying the young guys have been very good, but part of being a leader is you need to shoulder a lot of the responsibility. You and Brad Stevens, I don't think we should let him off the hook.
But what you don't have to do is tell us what you're doing.
At every turn. And I can't believe you said the media could tear the team apart.
Well, that's
and yet
true.
He keeps telling
Rich,
the media
you've
all this
tried,
stuff.
You've tried.
I'm trying to bring them together.
Oh,
I want to see this team win the whole thing.
Jerry's in Wellesley. Hey, Jerry.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's going on?
Everyone as well. Dale, nice to hear you sounding better.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'm working on it. Thanks.
So I am, like Rich, not a big fan of Kyrie. I mean, not a big fan of LeBron. You know, anybody who tells me they're the best, I'm the greatest, I have a little problem with.
Muhammad Ali did it, I didn't mind.
Well, no, I didn't mind that either, Dale. That's an exception because, you know,
also, it's not a team sport. You know, if a boxer's going to say that, that's going to help you sell fights and everything else. But anyway, go ahead.
And you understood there was some a level of bombasticness to him. You know, that was promotion as opposed
yes.
to. I think LeBron truly believes it. Now, he may very well be, but short of speaking of oneself in the third person, you know, it's the same kind of thing. LeBron's the best. Please, give me a break. But I need your help to let me know if a recollection I have is accurate or inaccurate. I recall when LeBron was coming out of amateur basketball into the professional leagues, there was some baggage that was coming with him. Did somebody buy his mother a house, or was he driving like a Cadillac that somebody bought him? Was there some issues, air quotation fingers, issues with his entrance into the league?
What's your point? I assume every single player.
They all got houses.
I'm just trying to remember if that's correct, if my recollection is correct.
I don't know, but so what?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you're violating rules,
everybody is an overstatement on my part for the sake of making the point here.
No, but you're probably closer to it.
I mean, I assume everybody's violating NCAA rules.
But
everybody's getting cars or
he
cash.
He didn't go to the NCAA.
I know. In his case, he came right out of high school.
Yeah, I don't care.
So how did he violate NCAA rules? He never played in the NCAA.
That'd be the least of my concerns with him. I mean,
you hate LeBron for a lot of reasons. That ain't one of them.
Something that happened, what, 16
you got
years
99
ago?
Problems, and LeBron getting cash for his mom's house
well
is not
said,
one of them.
Well said, Dale.
Well, right. Just in case you're wondering. Tori's up in New Hampshire. Hey, Tori.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
What's going on?
Yeah, I just wanted to, if you know, I'm actually also a Twitter follower of you guys, and if you happen to notice on there, I've had a pinned tweet sitting there for over a year saying that Kyrie's not going to re-sign here. And, you know, he has never wanted to be here. People forget that he is an actor, but where it came from a team with LeBron on it. So we learned how to run organizations the way LeBron does now. He is not going to resign here. I put him in the same category as like Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook once had Harden and Durant on his team.
But Westbrook has re-signed. He's been in Oklahoma City his whole career.
Oh, I understand, but he's played with like Durant and Harden and still hasn't won anything. So I just put
I mean, he got to the finals once, year, but okay. I mean, Kyrie Irving has won something.
Last year.
What? Do you want to talk about year, that? Kyrie Irving's won a title.
No, I understand that, but by himself without LeBron?
I don't think anybody has won a title by themselves since Hakeem Olajuwon in 95.
Well, I thought we should have traded Kyrie Irving for Anthony Davis last year.
94.
I guarantee you this 94. Is what's happening. You know, Kyrie Irving is coming out of, you know, a play that's drawn up for Gordon Hayward or Jason Tatum, and, you know, if there's an open shot, shoot it. You know,
you wouldn't even re-sign Kyrie Irving if he wanted to come back, is what you're saying.
No, I would.
No, okay.
I would not want him to
be
the playmate. I want him to do like two guard or something.
Okay, we're moving positions? Now we're changing his position?
Well, that's a big significant change, Steve.
Listen, I'm not wild about him anymore, but he's one of the best point guards in the league. You're not going to all of a sudden put him off the ball. He's also averaging a career high in assists this season, so he has sort of... He looks around, and he's got a bunch of guys that can also score, and he's trying to get them involved a little bit more. But he may be right. He may not re-sign here. So maybe, looking ahead to the future, you may be right about that. I think it's kind of 50-50, honestly, right now. Here would be my scenarios, Dale. I think there's three scenarios for Kyrie. I mean, there's probably more, but the three most likely are stay in Boston if they trade for Anthony Davis, go to New York and play with Kevin Durant, or, God forbid, go to the Lakers and play with LeBron again. And I would put the percentages at 50% chance he's in Boston, 40% chance he's in New York, 10% chance he's in L.A. That's how I would map
So you
it
think
out.
The greater chance is that he's here?
Yes. Because I think the Celtics can get Anthony Davis with Jason Tatum. They can trade Tatum for Davis. That would get the deal done. So I think he's most likely. Now, he may sign a one-year deal. I would not rule out him. He's done everything like LeBron. And one of the things LeBron did when he was in Cleveland was at the end there, he signed a 1-1. And then that way you can make sure that Anthony Davis, because Anthony Davis, he's not going to sign an extension right away. He's going to play out the year that hit free agency.
You'd be willing to trade Jason Tatum for a year of Anthony Davis.
Yes, assuming that it's also with a year of Kyrie Irving. I need both of them. I'm not going to see Kyrie go to New York and then make the trade for Davis. I wouldn't do that. But if Irving and Davis are here together, I've convinced myself to make it happen.
And then it's going to be Death Valley after that.
There's a chance. There's a chance it's Death Valley.
Or there's a real good chance.
Or there's a chance they both stay. What if they make it? What if they win the whole thing?
I don't think that's going to change things for Anthony Davis at all.
Why not? The guy hasn't won anything his whole career.
I know, by the way, the Celtics are not on his list.
Yeah, he wants to play for everybody.
Yeah,
if he had an opportunity, he'd play for every single team. No, but I mean,
and you think Kyrie Irving, if this all happened,
yes,
the Rich Keefe fantasy came true, and, yes, and they're both here next, yes, year, and you win the NBA title, and you
thing.
Think then Kyrie's going, I'm so sorry, I want to stay now. I don't.
What do you mean? Sorry,
I think
want to
he's.
Stay.
I didn't mean it.
Well,
where's
he going?
Knicks, L.A. Someplace other than here.
I don't think he's going to go play with a 36-year-old LeBron James. Why not stay here? You're still the face of the franchise, and you just won a title, and you can get all the money in the world. I don't think it's the worst place to be. I think they could do it.
Paul's in Milford. Hey, Paul.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's good. Going on?
It's a question. I'm not, protecting Kyrie, but can you name another free agent who's handled himself well, in his career during, free agency and trading? I mean, this is the way the league is now.
Well, there are guys that have re-upped with their teams, and I forget how all the scenarios worked out, but guys like, James Harden and Steph Curry and Russell Westbrook, and they just sort of, there was not a whole lot of thought that they were going to go somewhere else, and they just sort of stayed with their teams and signed these monster deals.
Right, but they're the anomalies. And you got to go back to Chris Paul, Anthony Davis, even that robot Kawhi caused a stir.
Oh, my God, he really did. I mean, he sat out all season.
It's in every sport. You see it in baseball and football.
Oh, yeah.
It's look at me, I want to make a headline.
Yeah, it could definitely get ugly. You're right. I mean, at least Kyrie's playing, because he's on a good team, and that's a big part of it. Like, Anthony Davis is on a bad team, and they're going to have to trade him, so that thing is just gross. The Kawhi Leonard thing,
I don't even think Anthony Davis can play there the rest of the year.
No, you got to sit him down. You got to sit him. But the Kawhi Leonard thing is really screwy because San Antonio wasn't a title contender, but they weren't the Pelicans either. And if you put Leonard on there, they're pretty good. That's sort of like I guess he has the out. Oh, he had a quad injury, but he looks pretty good this year.
And then when his own team is saying, no, he's good to go.
He's fine.
He's cleared.
Was it Tony Parker's? Like, I had the same injury. I was fine.
Like, oh, ow.
Yeah, not great.
Dennis on the cell phone. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey
Keith, I agree with you, but for different reasons. And before I say that, I can't believe, Dale, you did a Jay-Z reference.
I'm trying.
All right. So I think people are forgetting to talk about Big Al and what that means for the game for Anthony Davis and any swing man. You know, be it if Kyrie comes or stays or Jason Tatum comes or stays. Al, if you remember when Big Al was on the Hawks, he made Smith look like an all-star. He's very quiet, and you really don't see him now because he's doing a lot of body stuff, a lot of pit. Like, he's not good enough himself to be a big man that would stand out like kind of the all-time big man. But you put him next to Davis, and I'm telling you, that's going to change the whole dynamic of the East.
Yeah, it could. I mean, they would definitely go a lot bigger. And we've seen Horford play pretty well when he's played the four. I think defensively, those guys would be an absolute nightmare for other teams.
The swing, if you look at how is that, like, that's ideal for a swingman. Because while everyone's distracted on those two guys getting the boards and boxing out, the swingman just comes down and does a Kobe or a Michael Jordan.
Yeah, and both those guys can shoot threes too, so they're not going to clog up the paint or anything like that. I mean, they
or go there.
I don't know. I mean, they could. I mean, well, Horford may not, but Davis would. I don't know if Horford would have to be a part of that deal though, like with money wise. I don't want to bore everybody with all the money stuff, but I don't know if he'd have to be a part of that deal. Otherwise, you put the two of them together. I think that could be really, really good. You know, when the league's going so small now, all of a sudden you have two kind of 7-footers out there. Would be something.
Jason's in Nashua. Hey, Jason.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I know Keith has his hate for LeBron and everything. But
it's pathological.
It's definitely there. I can sense
it's
that.
There.
Oh, he's not really faking it.
No, it's not.
I don't really like him either, but you can't deny that he's a great player. And Kyrie learned from him. There's nothing you can do about it. But this is my point. Like, I agree with Kyrie, and I'm glad he said something. Because these young guys, man, I don't even think he's talking about Tatum. Because, you know what, I think him and Tatum are close. And Tatum's still in the starting lineup. So we all forget that last year Kyrie played, you know, 75% of the season with this team. He didn't play in the playoffs, yes, but he played in this system with these guys. Hayward's the only new guy that has. And Brown has taken a step back. He's off the bench. Rozier's in his, third stringer now as a point guard. Like, so I think he has truth to it, and I'm glad he said something because we all know it. We all know.
Yeah, I wonder if
their role.
Listen, Jason, I'm with you. Jaylen Brown has been disappointing. Now, he's played pretty well during this little winning streak, or at least the 12 out of 15. Jaylen Brown's played a lot better. But if Jaylen Brown, because if you want to put Tatum to the side, fine. So if it's just Jaylen Brown and Terry Rozier, are we really – so those guys are going to pull the team down that much, those two guys are? And then if you're Kyrie Irving, is the best way to get to them by constantly throwing them under the bus all the time? I mean, I don't know. Like, as a leader, I would always make fun of LeBron when he would make comments about – you know, they were in the NBA Finals, and he's talking about how good the Warriors are, then, you know, compared to, like, what I got around me and things like that, and I gotta do so much for my team to give them a chance. Like, that kind of stuff is not – I don't know how that helps. And so if you think Jaylen Brown's a problem, do you think by constantly going to media scrums or talking to Rachel Nichols and be like, oh, yeah, these young guys, they just don't get it. I don't see how that could possibly work out.
I wonder if I think the answer is obviously, but there's nothing they can do about it. I wonder if Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens sit back and watch this morning like I did and go, oh, come on.
Yeah, here we go again.
Just don't.
Brad's got to be losing his mind with this stuff. And he's always going to give you a, you know, just a down-the-middle kind of answer when he's asked about it, you know, whether it's Marcus Morris shoving Jaylen Brown or Kyrie, you know, losing his mind and saying, I'll see you, you know, ask me July 1st. Brad's got to be like, I just want to coach basketball. And it has become so much more about these personalities and these guys and trying to cover up for what they've said all season.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WE.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Yeah.
Get connected with Rich Keefe on Twitter at Keefe21. Now back to more of Dale and Keefe on Sports Radio WEEI.
Seven seven nine seven ninety three seven is the telephone number. So you know how one little audio cut can change your opinion about everything. Happened with you when Kyrie said I reached out and called LeBron.
That did affect me. Yes,
Bron.
It did.
Oh, boy. I mean that I saw Rich Keefe's world shattered. That moment.
I didn't want to believe it. I thought I was dreaming.
And a bad
pinched
dream.
Myself. A nightmare.
So there was a cut I heard earlier today on the radio station. We were talking about this yesterday. Manny Machado agrees to a 10-year, $300 million deal with the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, the hotbed of baseball out there.
I know. We now assume Bryce Harper is going to be north of that somewhere.
I'm waiting for that. I thought that was going to come out today during our show. I really did. I thought it was close.
Philly seemed to be the front runner, but it's a question of how much they're going to be able to squeeze out. And then we actually, I think, are of the belief that if Mookie Betts gets to free agency, he's going to be north of Bryce Harper.
Yes.
It's $37 million a year, $38 million a year, whatever
right.
number it is. Yeah. So we talked about, if you're Dave Dombrowski, do you reach out to Betts right now and say, hey, listen, Bryce Harper signed a deal that's worth $33 million a year. We'll put $35 million a year in your lap right now, 10-year contract right now, $350 million. Let's get this done. Let's do it right now.
I do it from the Red Sox.
And I would,
if I'm
too.
The Red Sox.
And then I thought, then the question becomes, would Mookie's side be willing, or are they committed to playing this thing out, going to free agency in a couple of years, and seeing what the market will bear, which, in all likelihood will be north of even that. But you run the risk, theoretically, if you're Mookie, you go out there and blow out a knee or something.
Right. Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of guaranteed money aspects of this, which make it worth it. Then I heard Mookie Betts this morning when I was listening to Mutt and Callahan, as I always do. And I got to the world is shattered category like Rich Keefe did.
I think we're different players, so, obviously it's going to be it's a different time. So, and I don't want to speak on anybody else's free agency. You just got to worry about my own. It's not just about me. It's like the guys behind me, you want to do things for them. And as players, we're all kind of one. We play the game and just have to kind of pass the baton to the next guy and think about their families.
Yeah, you got to think about the next guy's families now. So I'll tell you what, Dale, I don't think it's a done deal that he is gone. I just think there's no way he signs a deal in the next year and a half or whatever. He's gonna become a free agent, and if the Red Sox offer the most money, that's the only way in hell they're going to get him back.
Right.
And even then, it's not a guarantee. I mean, if two teams have the exact same deal, maybe he chooses the other team for whatever the reason might be. But the whole idea, and you said it, I said it, others have said, hey, lock this guy up for the long haul. He's here for two more years. That's great. But he's in his mid-20-year deal. It's worth it for Mookie Betts. But there's no chance he is going to talk to you between now and his free agency.
He said, you got to do this for the guys coming behind you. And as soon as they start talking about that stuff.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it is ring every nickel, every dime. Mm-hmm. Don't give up a single thing.
Yeah.
Go to free agency and get the first $400 million deal. Now, ironically, a guy who could also do that is Mike Trout, and yet there are talks that the Angels and Trout are engaged in contract negotiations now. So Mike Trout doesn't necessarily feel he has to be that, I have to do this for the guys coming behind me guy.
And Mike Trout did the same thing before, right? Didn't he? Instead of going to arbitration, they just gave him a big-time contract. I think at one point that's what it was because, if you look at Mike Trout early on in his career, because he was making like $1 million. Then he made $6 million, and then he was so good he made $16 million. Then 20. This last year he made 34, and then he's making 34 for the next 2 years. So that's what he would be, a free agent the same year as Mookie. Now he hasn't signed anything yet. He hasn't signed that crazy extension yet. But he's got to be thinking, if he's already making 34 a year, that's more average annual than Manny Machado's making now. But he got 10 years. So 340 total wouldn't even really be much of a raise for Trout. It would just be a continuation of what he's currently on. So like his number.
But the fact, if he is in fact even talking about it.
He needs to get out of there, though.
Because it sounds as though Mookie doesn't even. It's not even interested.
Mookie's got no interest.
I mean, I guess you could call his bluff. Let's say, you know, Dave Dombrowski says, we'll give you a 10-year, $400 million deal. I mean, I don't know how he walks away from that.
Yeah, but you gotta all of a sudden just blow his doors down with something like that. I just think with both of those guys, specifically just with Betts, he made the comment before about looking at what Bryce Harper was going to make. And now when he makes this comment about really doing what's best for the guys behind him, like the next generation, well, it's all about raising the bar. And even though he may set a new record or you know, make a ton of money and it'd be good for other baseball players how much money that he would make, he would make more as a free agent in 2 years. Barring some crazy injury or some crazy horrible season for him, if he plays like he did the last few years, this upcoming season and next upcoming season, there will be a monster bidding war. Especially if he and Trout hit it there together, then I think there'd be a bunch of teams fighting over both of those guys.
If you were looking at it right now, today, who's a better player, Bryce Harper or Mookie Betts? I'd say Betts.
Mookie Betts is better than Bryce Harper.
He's a better, more complete, all-around player. Again, Gold Glove, Silver Slugger, MVP, all of those things. Bryce Harper, well, he's been overhyped since he was the high school kid hitting the long bomb home run in some Las Vegas parking lot somewhere.
Cover of SI when he was like 16 or whatever.
But Mookie Betts is a better player.
Yeah, I think
now, so. Bryce Harper is probably going to get $32 million a year, maybe $35 million a year for 10 years.
Right.
So I guess if I'm Mookie Betts, I say, okay, if the Red Sox came to me and offered me $35 million a year, and that's what Harper's got, and I'm better than Harper, how am I moving this along?
Right, and it's not like he is making nothing this year, and it's like, all right, I just want to make sure I cash in at some point. Like, they avoided arbitration this season, so he's making twice that he did last year. So based on baseball players and what their contracts are, he's worth more than $20 million. But it's not like he's sitting there like, hey, let's rip up this $6 million deal and get me to 35 now.
Right.
I think he'd be willing to wait. And then next year, the same thing. He'll probably get 25. Like, he'll get another increase from this contract. And then he's still not even 30. And he's still going to, then he'll be able to cash in again. So, yeah, the comment. And was that from yesterday or is it just from this morning? Either way, it was the first time
I heard it this morning.
Yeah, I think it was yesterday afternoon. Yeah. I think he said it. But it's just like, okay, so now if you're the Red Sox.
Because they asked him specifically about the Machado and Harper.
Right. So wouldn't you immediately then turn to Xander Bogaerts?
I'd have done that yesterday.
Don't you have to then move on?
Yes.
You got to look at these other guys and say, hey, we don't want to max out all these deals so we can't afford to pay Mookie Betts. But you have to be prepared for the realization that he's gone. And I don't know. I don't think you want to trade him in the next season. I don't think you want to do that because you're a World Series contender. But depending on the departures from this current roster, I mean, you might have even a decision to make the following year. I mean, that's why during this year, we were talking about how important it was with all the young guys. Yet the window was not really as big as you would think based off of the average age of a lot of the star players on your team. But the way the contracts are all coming up, it might be tough to hang on to as many guys as you'd like.
If Betts and Trout hit free agency in the same offseason, the way Machado and Harper did this year, Trout's probably going to get more.
Yes.
Not like this unbelievably large amount more. Let's say Trout gets $400 million for 10 years.
Betts gets 38.
I would guess Betts would get 38, 39.
Yeah, I would say so. I would definitely pay Trout more than Betts, but they're right there. I mean, the fact that Manny Machado got $300 million, and he's not a bad player. I mean, he's a really good player.
Yeah, but you know what? He's not even a great player.
He might be a great player.
He's a good to very good. I mean, great players to me are guys like Trout and Betts.
And Arenado. Arenado. Stop trying. He's a great player, though. But those position players, too, those guys that are in their 20s, like Goldschmidt is probably on the downhill a little bit, but Goldschmidt's another guy that I consider, you know, like a great player in the game. So, yeah, those guys are going to hit free agency at the right time. You know, Mookie Betts is, what, 26 right now? So he's not hitting it at the exact time that Machado and Harper are. Right, like it's easier to give a 26-year-old 10 years than it is a 28-year-old, obviously. So, but even still, it's going to be one of those things that, all right, you're going to have to pay a lot just to get the guy, and if the last couple of years he's not as good, so be it. That's the cost of doing business.
It sure doesn't sound like the Red Sox are going to be able to lure Betts into an early deal.
But you're not in the camp that he's just gone, are you?
Not necessarily gone. I mean, somebody out there, what the Red Sox are going to have to do is decide if they will match what some other, you know, GM out there is willing to pony up.
And then the real question is, and I don't know the answer to this. I don't know if anybody can. I guess it's just your best speculation. Say all these teams. Now, I know he's from Tennessee, so like Atlanta is technically his team. So say Atlanta, the Yankees, a couple other spots, all offer him the same contract. Would he say, well, I like it here in Boston, I'm going to stay? Or he say, you know what, changes, I'd like to go somewhere else. Like, I don't know the answer to that with Mookie Betts. I can't get a really firm, he loves it or hates it. Like, I don't know with him. It's a tricky one.
Because he's dry.
He is very dry.
He doesn't give you a lot.
He gave us a lot in that cut.
Well, yeah, but he was talking about money. But, like, if I asked you, do you think Mookie Betts loves playing for the Red Sox?
Yes.
You think he does?
Just
or do you just loves playing Major League Baseball? Like, do you think he loves being in Boston? I have no idea. I can't get a grasp.
He's never spoken about it, and that was one thing.
Like, remember when
about
Isaiah
it.
Thomas was here? If I asked you, does Isaiah Thomas like playing in Boston? It was like, oh my god.
I think Isaiah Thomas still
wants to play in Boston. Mookie Betts, with all the success that he's had, World Series MVP, really, really not sure if he loves it here.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. And oh, by the way, the defending World Series champions have decided, you know, closer is not that big a deal.
Don't care for it.
Yeah, we'll talk about that when we come back as well. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.